certainly there are opportunities on the front end in terms of early education, in terms of a lot of positive things that is being done around the state when children are young to maybe make a difference. But I think just in terms of the correctional system, I think the challenge for us and the biggest priority that we have going is finding a way to help both native and non-native offenders be successful when they reenter communities. It's estimated that 93% to 97% will come back to communities. So it's our goal to try and help them be successful. That requires a holistic approach where they learn how to make good decisions. We help them with critical thinking. We help them, you know, learn how to be employable. We help them with housing, all those things that would lead to successful reentry into our communities. That's probably our biggest challenge, but the most exciting challenge that we have.
Let's talk a little bit about staffing. 91.8% of corrections employees are Caucasian, 1.1% American Indian, 0.4% African American, 1.2% Hispanic, 0.3% Asian, and a not specified 5.2%. When Native people make up 17% of the total number of offenders within the department, it seems like there's a real discrepancy there. How come?
You know, it's interesting. That's something that we're trying to figure out. We have historically attended job fairs, been in colleges and university campuses, actually talking to Native Americans about employment opportunities within the department. For some reason, we are not getting the number of applicants that we had hoped, but it's an area that I think that we can continue to try and improve on. I really don't know the answer to that. Part of it may lie with many of the opportunities that the department has are outside of the reservation. So I don't know whether that it's an issue of people not wanting to leave their home for employment opportunities. But that's something that I know Harlan's going to do some work on. And I think he has some jobs fairs that are scheduled in the very near future.
Yeah, Mr. Trumbly, why don't you think do more Native people go out for these jobs? Or is that even the problem at all, in your opinion?
Well, I think, I guess a lot don't kind of understand, you know, like, especially about corrections. Like, for instance, Wednesday, I attended a career fair in Browning at their community college. The booth we had set up there, a lot of the people that came over and talked to us, it was I and a coworker that went to the career fair. Mm-hmm. When they saw Department of Corrections, majority of them thought of prison, you know, correctional officers. Mm. And when we kind of got to talking with them and letting them know, you know, there's other positions within corrections, you know, support staff, IT, legal, medical, mental health, you know, a lot of them didn't know about that. So I think just getting out there, like I said, talking to people and kind of trying to educate them.
Yeah, so maybe Mr. Batista, just simple marketing, a different approach would help. Yeah,
yeah, I think it will. I think it will, and I think Harlan's points are well made. I think a lot of people don't understand all of the positions that are offered at the Department of Corrections. I think when people think of corrections, they largely think of the prison, and we have challenges in our own right about recruitment and retention at Montana State Prison. It tends to be more of a regional approach because of the way our salaries are. We have a lot of people over at Montana State Prison that commute daily between Butte and Anaconda and Deer Lodge. So I do think Harlan's right on the money in terms of letting Native American candidates know that there are a lot of different opportunities within this field.
If I can switch gears, Mr. Batista, recently, as you know, the Department of Justice released results of a survey that found a high rate of sexual assault at the state prison. 17 Montana respondents to this reported inmate-on-inmate sexual assaults, 19 reported staff-on-inmate sexual misconduct, and I recall you saying those numbers just don't seem quite right. How come?
Well, we have different numbers that are lower than what is reported in the BJS study. Bureau of Justice Statistics, they're the ones who completed the study. Our numbers, lower numbers than they reported. And the challenge is just that all of the reports by inmates, they were all anonymous, so we don't have enough information to really compare it with the data that we have at Montana State Prison to know whether or not an allegation was credible or unfounded. So it's really difficult to do the comparison to determine if those numbers that were presented in the BJS report are accurate. The ones that we have that have been reported to the prison, we are very confident that those numbers are accurate. So there is some challenges, just the differences of statistical information that's been presented, just knowing some of the circumstances and whether or not they're legitimate complaints.
And again, what are those numbers that have been reported to the prison that you say are accurate?
I don't have them handy, but they were lower than what was reported in the BJS study.
You've said that there were gaps in policies, in procedures when you took over a little over a year ago. What were you referring to? What sort of gaps?
Well, I think one of the things that we've greatly improved on is just refining our procedures in terms of how an inmate can report an allegation, how staff handles it. We're educating the staff about the Prison Rape Elimination Act requirements. We recently hired a new PREA coordinator who spent many years in a leadership position at Montana State Prison, was heavily involved in all of our training efforts. So we feel like we've made up a lot of ground, as have all states that are trying to come compliant with the PREA reporting requirements. So we've really had to kind of standardize and refine how an inmate can report when they report. You know, there's a number of mechanisms. There's a PREA hotline. There's an opportunity to report directly to a staff. There's a grievance procedure. There's sending a kite, the communication that we use within the facility, to a staff member about a sexual assault allegation. So we've kind of refined that. The staff have a better understanding of how that information needs to be shared, not only with our administration, our correctional officers, but also our investigators, to ensure that a proper review is done on a complaint. So we've gotten a lot better at that.
How would you characterize the physical infrastructure at the Montana State Prison right now?
In terms of the campus?
Yeah.
Well, the campus was built a long time ago. I'm drawing a blank exactly on the date of the campus, but there are some challenges in the security line of sight within the facility. One of the things that we did this past session was try and replace one of our aging units at Montana State Prison, and the reason for that is that it doesn't offer adequate line of sight for our correctional officers when viewing inmate activities within that unit. So it's an aged building. There are some challenges in terms of being able to have cameras at all locations to view inmate staff activities. But I think we've made a lot of improvements in some of those things that will help us be able to determine whether or not a complaint is legitimate. If there's a complaint of a sexual assault, some of the audiovisual things, enhancements that we made, I think will help. But it is an older building, and it comes with some unique challenges as a result of that.
And if you wanted to update a little bit, your go-to would be, I guess, the legislature, right?
Yeah. Anytime there's a building project, it is run through the Long Range Building Committee. We brought that up last session. We're in the early process of budget planning for the next session, but that may be an issue. It gives us an opportunity to enhance our security in that particular unit and also maybe to expand our ability to have more beds as well, so that we can much quicker transfer inmates that are classified at a higher, lower level between units.
And last question for both you all. Mr. Trombley, let me start with you. If you had the top two, maybe three priorities for this year, what would they be?
Educating staff, like with their cultural awareness training. Another thing was just, like I said before, just getting out to all the facilities, you know, making myself available, and also working with all the tribal communities too.
Mr. Batista.
Well, the top two priorities I would have is the work that we're doing on offender reentry into communities. I think we're making a lot of progress and have a lot of momentum with the reentry task force that came out of the passage of House Bill 68 during this past legislative session. I think we've got a lot of good groundwork. I think our participation in the study and evaluation of mental illness in correctional facilities is very important to the correctional system, as it is to local law enforcement as well. And then I guess the third, even though you asked me for two, would be pay issues for correctional staff.
And again, that goes back to the legislature, you'd think.
It does. Yeah, it's been I think some of the pay for some of our positions have been not neglected but stalled at a certain level for way too long, and we need to pay these people for what is a very difficult, demanding job. We need to pay them the right way.
And boy, you mentioned a mental illness in the correction system. That's a whole nother discussion, but boy, that's a big one, huh?
It is. It's a very big one. And there are a lot of people, I think, including some an interim committee that is doing a lot of good research, having some good deliberations about that issue. And there are some advocacy groups in Montana that have waited a long time to see some of the changes that need to take place in terms of how we treat mentally ill, and people at Department of Corrections feel the same way.
I've been speaking with Montana Department of Corrections Director Mike Batista and Department of Corrections American Indian Liaison Harlan Trombley. Fellas, it was really good to meet both of you and touch base. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.